I decided to, there was several situations going on, and so I've been doing some study on evil, on the devil. Honestly, I've been doing some studies on, like, demonic things, and just wanting to figure out what the Bible says about that. You know, there's two schools of camp here. Some people believe, like, that's ridiculous. You know, like the movie that's out right now, a lot of people are into that horror movie where they got, you know, basically you can't go to death row if you're criminally insane, so they tried to... Basically, this guy was claiming it, and finally they get in the room, find out the guy claims that he's demon-possessed. And the attorney's like, "What, demon-possessed? There ain't such a thing. What are you doing? You're either crazy or you're not." A lot of people believe that. And then there's the other camp where there's a group of people that think there's like, there's demons behind every trash can. You know, and I just thought that because I looked over and seen the trash can. But behind every little bush, you know, I had a guy tell me one time, I kind of had a cold. I was not feeling very good. I was actually in a coffee shop. And he comes up. He goes, "Hey, man, what's up?" And I was like, "Oh, nothing, man. I'm a little rough right now, you know, struggling with this cold, you know." He's just like, "Man," he goes, "yeah." He goes, "I don't take that stuff." I like, "Take what stuff?" He goes, "That's what the enemy does, man." He says, and you need to, like, you know, resist it and repel it and, like, you know, the demon, the devil of the sickness and the cold is on you. Christians don't need to take that." And I was just like, "Dude, there's all kinds of germs flying around." And I just licked somebody else's slobber. That's what happened. And, you know, my wife had a cold. That's how that worked. And anyway, so what we want to do is just have a biblical perspective. We don't want to, I think there's a lot of ridiculousness here and there's a ton of ridiculousness over here. So what's the Bible? Speak of the devil. So that's what we've been talking about, and we'll end that today. So last week we just talked about, you know, the devil's definitely the villain in God's word, right? He's the villain. And we talked about how that works. You know, Lucifer, the covering cherub above the throne of God, was God's light, and he was radiating God's glory with his jewels and his breastplate, his four different faces. He's an angelic being. He was called Lucifer, the light bearer. But then all of a sudden in Isaiah 14, he says, "I will exalt my throne above the Most High." He took his eyes off of God, put them on himself, and in his heart, the Bible says, he said, "I will exalt my throne." Sin always starts in the heart. That's the first sin we find in the Bible. Before a man was ever on planet Earth, it was actually Lucifer who, by the way, was bearing the light of God. Once God kicked him out of heaven and he fell, the Bible says, he's never called the light bearer again. Now he's called the devil. There's five letters to his name. By the way, every angel in the Bible has seven letters to their name. And he lost the name Lucifer. Now he's called the devil. He's called Satan. Five is the number of death in the Bible. And now he comes down. He was so, we talked about this last week. He was so, everybody today wants to be an influencer. A lot of young people. You know, it used to be when, like, when my mom grew up, you know, like, there was every boy in the class, you know, there'd be a kid to have a cross eye, you know, one eye all jacked up and he barely got D's in the class. And what do you want to be when you want to grow up? I want to be the president of the United States. Little did he know in 2024 that could happen. You could probably do that. But back then, everybody's like, "President?" That was funny, I thought. Sorry. I'm not knocking our president. But he looks, everybody, "I want to be a fireman." You know, everybody had these, "I want to be," a lot of kids wanted to be in the military and do great things and be doctors. And as times went on, that has changed so much. And today, a lot of young people say, "I want to be an influencer." Because they've watched people blow up on social media, and it does happen. You'll have some knucklehead that gets on, hits the right thing, and before you know it, bam! You know, rolling in some millions of dollars. That does happen. It's very minute. It's very small, kind of like getting into the pros, right? It's very little, but people desire to do that. Well, just remember how influencing started. It started when the enemy, God's nemesis in heaven, looked at himself and said, "I'll exalt my throne above you." And before he got kicked out of heaven, he talked one third of the angels, one third of the stars to come with him. He influenced one third of heaven to come with him. That's how persuasive and influential he was and he is. Every good story always has four characters. And the first one is going to be a victim. Somebody needs a rescue. Somebody needs a help. Somebody needs a way out. Right in behind the victim, there's always a villain. Somebody that with vengeance on a world, usually that hurt them. They had something bad in there. That's what hurt people do. They hurt other people. You know, they had something tragic in the past happen, so now, you know, they're going to make sure everybody else is miserable, you know. And so they plan on destruction. The goal of the villain is to make people feel small. We all know him because we've had him in our life. And some of us have played the villain. And it happens. It's the humanness in us. When you get hurt so bad, sometimes you tend to lash out like that. There's victims. There's villains. There's a hero in every story. The hero comes to bring the rescue, right? A hero has always like faced challenges but has been transformed. They've had some sort of victory in their life. They plan on not destroying the world but benefiting the world. And then so you got the victim, you got a villain, and you got a hero. And then the good part of the story is there's always somebody that's a guide. There's always somebody that tends to guide the hero. The guy doing the thing or the girl that wants to bring the rescue. There's somebody guiding them, helping them find meaning and keeping them going. So we looked last week at the villain, because speak of the devil, that's exactly who he is. Villains always, what makes villains so awesome, you know, is that they're like deliciously evil, and yet something wholesome and convincing. They're both. That's why anybody that lies, they're good at it. Because they edge right on truth. They're right up on truth. And you have a hard time telling the difference. You know, other people just lie and you're just like, he walks away and everybody's like, that girl's full of it, man. Everybody knows it. The guy, the girl that's so convincing, I'm like, wow, that is how villains work. It's exactly how the enemy works. So last week, let me give you just a quick, last week we talked about how Satan was the closest to God. We should know this. It's like it surprises us. The best villains are always like close to, it's like sleeping with the enemy, man. You know, they're right there and, they're close. That's why, little do we know, you know, here's Jesus Christ doing the Lord's Supper, right? The communion service, and hands the sop to Judas. Judas comes in the garden and betrays the Lord with a what? A middle finger? No, the best villains do it with a kiss. They're so close. And when you hear the stories and the best is when you're watching the movies and you're like, what? Because you just think, that guy is a jerk. That guy's obviously causing all these. That guy's the killer. I'm telling you. And then all of a sudden you find out, you're like, it's her husband? What? You know, it's like, it shocks everybody, you know. And so Satan was closest to God. So don't be fooled by that. That's how it's going to work. Because I'll tell you right now, if especially, think about this. Even if the enemy wants to really hurt me, you know, and just say, you know, my neighbor's going to say, some guy I don't even know is going to, some guy on social media is going to say something bad about me. And you know what I say? Hey, you know what I think of that? Nothing. I could give a crap about what you think. But people that know me, people I love, my own family, you know, people that are dear and near to my heart, boy, the enemy will start working in them relationships closest to me. So we see this in the Bible. Don't be shocked by it. Don't be shocked. Satan was closest to God. Satan is the source of all anarchy and rebellion in the universe, right? It started in his heart, and we've seen it. He fell, and now he's down to, the Bible says, to weaken the nations. He's going to destroy people's lives. So Satan is definitely the villain. Last week, we talked about how powerful Satan is. Super powerful. We compared him, even the Bible compares him sometimes to, well, it'll say, like, he'll roar. But it's like a roaring lion. You know, lion, king of the jungle, man. Lions, man, they'll roar because it causes fear in everybody. And they'll rule and they'll dominate. Sometimes you ever watch some of those YouTube videos, man, where the lion's like, that lion, man, he's going to attack that rhino? He's so hungry. Going to jump on a hippo? You ever seen him attack a giraffe? I'm like, what in the world? And sometimes they're successful. It just blows me away. Through the king of the jungle. That, the devil's compared. The Bible also calls him the serpent. That's how he showed up with mankind in the garden. He shows up, and the Bible uses the term, you know, serpent. And we talked last week, what makes serpents so, like, what makes them so smooth is, and we talked about their eyes. It's not that, you know, poison, non-poison. Which, how is it? They're poisonous, not poison. Well, don't get that close where you're looking at his pupils. You know, that's ridiculous. What makes them so smooth is they have no eyelids. Snakes don't blink, man. They're always looking. in the Bible. And that's why you and me as human beings, man, we nod off. We don't pay attention. Gotcha. He's just that good. So we talked about how powerful he was last week and what a great influencer was. And simply, we ended last week with this, and I'll move on. We ended last week talking about how he's so smooth. But what he really wants is when he was in heaven, he said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. He wanted attention. He wanted worship. Even Jesus being tempted in Matthew chapter 4. Do you remember that when I shouldn't call him that. He's the devil, Satan. When he's tempting Jesus Christ, at one point he just says, if you'll just fall down and worship me. All he wanted was some accolades, man. Give it to me. Look at me. And so we did a little example in the trash can over there where basically, you know, if your goal is to throw something in that trash can, sometimes the devil's there as a beast to keep you from making the hoop, you know. Sometimes he'll swat it away and do all that. A lot of times what he just simply does is he'll just distract you. If that's your goal, to throw something in that trash can, you know, all of a sudden you'll just get distracted. That's it. And he'll crack open a can for you and just say, hey, you'll be like, oh, just a minute. It's just a simple, got your attention. He'll call something over here and he'll get you to settle for something good. And you'll miss out on what's great. He does it with our families. We use that example with Bo, with his daughter was hurt and all of a sudden his goal was to throw something in there. And what did he do? He went to his daughter because she was crying. She was hurt. A good dad would do that. Right? And you'd think, well, that's just a great dad. Well, we ended last week with just saying that. This is exactly what the enemy wants from you and me. He don't want us to go kill cats. He don't want us to all be on crack cocaine and, you know, we're going to do meth and, you know, and worship, kill dogs in the woods. We're going to put on horns. We're going to join a cult and people can call us satanic, you know. You know what a small group of people that is in the planet? But everybody says, those guys are devil worshipers. You know what the Bible says the devil worship is? Anybody who gives him attention. When we're supposed to look at the Lord, and Lucifer's like, I will exalt my throne. He said in his heart, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. Whenever he just gets our dedication and our devotion, that's what worship is, right? What are you dedicated to? So some guys are like, hey man, I'm dedicated to my job. I support my family. Then you talk to most people's families and you'll find out that, man, his wife don't feel supported. She feels like the bills are paid. She don't feel loved and supported. Or a Christian man does it. Man, I'm a family man. I'm devoted to my family. If you're more devoted to your family than you are to the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil has got your attention. He's first, the Bible says. We're supposed to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And devil worship is just that simple. When we're focused on doing the right thing and we're just like, ooh, and we head this direction, the devil's like, that's all he needs. Most of us would turn crack cocaine down. Most of us. Some of you would have a hard time with it in here. You know, some people, and I don't care, I'm just making up a vice. I don't care if it's, you know, alcohol. Some people's like, not a problem. I don't have to drink. I care less. Never had an issue with that. I can go into a bar. I can be around people. Drink. Don't bother me. And some of you cannot, right? And so it's not always that. Don't think that he always wants those things. He just really wants to hinder us. That was the key word last week, is hinder, right? Okay, that was message number one. Here starts message number two. Speak of the devil. Are you ready? I'm going to move quick here at the beginning. We're not going to turn to a lot of verses. I'll spit out some verses. Just take note to what we're talking about. Because last week we talked about, this is Satan. He's smooth. He's powerful. He wants our attention. He wants our worship. He wants our focus off of what's not the greatest, what's not the most accurate. That's all he wants to get us to do, is to turn. That's it. Just for an instasecond. And so, now, how do we have victory? Because he's powerful. And guys, he's more powerful than we. That's what the Bible says. He is so powerful and so massive, right? And so the enemy, the villains, speak of the devil. The first thing I want you to know is, going into this today, talking about having like victory over him, It's not easy. Mark that down. Because some people think, oh, I'm a Christian. It's going to be easy, right? It's no. It's never easy. Never easy. The disciples at one point thought, man, we got the power of Jesus. They went out to cast a demon out of a guy. And they tried to, you know, go over there. It couldn't be done. And they got back and Jesus said, guys, you thought that was going to be easy? You ever watch people that get in a scary situation? They're like, I like when they do that in the movies. I'm like, oh, dude, that's great you did that, but you're getting ready to die. You know, it's not that quick. Like, they're all going to run away now, you know. Or, you know, hey, I got holy water. What is that anyway? You ever look at holy water in the Old Testament? I only really find it in one spot. It's kind of a weird story about a lady that possibly has cheated on her husband and they bring this water. It's kind of a strange story, but you know, we like, oh, this is holy water and let's just sprinkle it everywhere. And I had some people from the Congo came in and they wanted us to come over to their house and bless their house. I'm like, what's that mean? You know, I'm like, how do you get the blessing? You know, and they're like, well, we just want you to pray over our house, make sure there's no evil spirits, and then walk around and sprinkle, you know, holy water around. Well, they did that. Like, where they're from, they're very, you know, superstitious, very, you know, spiritual. And I was just like, well, guys, I'm kind of a Bible guy. That's a little bit strange, you know. Like, I don't, you know, like, there's a devil living in every house. And I'll tell you, it's coming through the water, man. The water's so bad around you. That's what it is. The devil's in everybody. It's in the pipes, man. But people think crazy, and they just want you to bless it. And they feel better. Like, I can sleep at nighttime doing those type of things. And, guys, realistically, it's not easy. It's not like that. But I like in Jude, where I love Michael the archangel, where it says he wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against the devil. Because the devil's powerful. Guys, and he's real. Some people would like to stand on this camp and just say, oh, you know, I just think, you know, those people, they're not demon possessed. They're crazy, you know. And then the camp over here is just like, oh my gosh, everything's got the devil in it. No, but I know this much. He's so powerful. It's not an easy fight. There's a story in Acts chapter 19. Guys, if you read this story, and I'm just going to quote it for you. And down in verse 16, like, they're messing around with evil spirits. And before you know it, these evil spirits, they fled out of this house wounded and buck naked. For real? Yeah. You know, when Lucifer fell from heaven and 1/3 of the angels came, there's where we get our demonic forces. And they're like the Spirit of God moving and speaking. Yeah, the enemy has a spirit too, you know. And I'm not talking about just watching a scary movie and your hairs go up in your arms just because you're spooked, you know. You did that to yourself. You know, that's not, and everybody's just like, do you feel that? That was the devil. I've had people in church during a good worship song go, oh my gosh, man, the hairs went up on my arms on that song. You know, well, yesterday that was the devil. Well, that's because you were watching a scary movie. You know what that is? That's just pure emotion. That's the feelings and emotions, and it'll deceive us. So the Bible says, don't follow that feeling, because it can change. I feel like I'm in love with my wife. Not so much today. Feel like I'm in love with... It changes all the time. So what we got the facts of the Bible. So that's what we're digging for, speaking of the devil, right? But man, I just want you to know, this is not easy. And let me tell you a couple reasons why it's not so easy. But I want you to know two things. There's the spiritual and there's the physical. And the physical can be a byproduct of the spiritual for sure. So I just want you to know that Satan works in the spiritual. Kind of like God. We all worship God in here, right? We're worshiping God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who in here has seen him? I haven't. I mean, I've seen a picture of him that somebody painted. I'm not even sure it's accurate, right? Like, well, it's spiritual. We're people of faith. We believe what the Bible says. Matter of fact, the Bible says God is a spirit. You want to get a picture of God, the only picture you're going to get is Jesus Christ. And then, how do we know what he looks like? You know, you can just go in history and maybe look at somebody from that kind of area of the world, right? And Bible gives a few little descriptions of him, but it's tough because it's spiritual, right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, the way the devil works, speak of the devil, he transforms himself into an angel of light. The devil does better when he doesn't have a tail and a pitchfork and he's bright red and he walks up to you and just says, hey, have you ever tried meth? Most of them would say, yeah, he wouldn't get much business that way at all. So what he does is he transforms himself into an angel of light. Even though he's all about darkness and destruction, he ploys and that's what he does is he mocks and he imitates and he copies everything that is good. He always comes as an angel of light. I kid you not, I've seen people through the years meet Jesus Christ. They become a Christian. Their sin's taken away. They have maybe some trouble in their life. And they're like, man, I want to grow through this. I want to learn how to really live life with a real purpose, man. I want to grow and become this guy or this girl. And I kid you not, it's usually like a week later and they show up at church and it's usually with, hey man, I just want you to meet, man. This is my girlfriend. Or, you know, hey, man, this dude came back into my life. It happens all the time. We're like, no. Because it seems so good. It's just nothing but a hindrance. They slightly take their eyes off. That's all it is. You know, you're following the Lord. And Peter, right, looking at Jesus, walking on water. Dude's walking on water, looking at Jesus. Man, I'm doing. As soon as he got caught up in the wind and the waves, he took his eyes off of Jesus. One little look, and what did he say? Save me! He started to drown. Because that's the point, just a little bit of a hindrance, and that's what he does. And guys, the devil is called, he transforms himself into an angel of light. Because a lot of people that go down his path, they're convinced they're following the light. Be careful here, because the Bible is a big book, and the Bible's a dangerous book. That's why there's all kinds of cult groups out there that believe weird things and do strange things. And you know what they do? They use the Bible. The same book we have this morning. I'm not saying they don't twist it and turn it and manipulate it and all that type of stuff, but they'd use it. That's, I'm telling you, the devil has more business out there. He does more messing with people by using this book. People think they're heading down the right path. Well, he's an angel of light. That's why Jesus says, and if that light be in you, be darkness. That's weird. Like he called darkness a light. That verse has always bothered me. Until you study the enemy and you realize, it's deceptive, isn't it? The Bible says one day the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's totally against the Bible and Christ, but he's going to come. He's the Antichrist. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, it'll be the work of Satan. He'll come with power and then he'll say, with lying signs and wonders. He'll even bring miraculous things that people will say. And people will say this, well, that has to be of God. That's a miracle. Like the devil can't do miracles. He sure can. He sure can. He's known for it. Don't you guys remember when God's people were getting out of Egypt? And all of a sudden Moses shows up with his rod and he's like, hey, let's show him some cool stuff, man. This is God right here. And so, drop your rod. He dropped the rod and it became a serpent. And so they're like, hey, call in the magicians, man. Call the sorcerers in. And these guys would come in that don't know the God of the Bible. And they were able to turn their rods to serpents. I love the story because if you follow, all of a sudden God's like, well, before you pick that thing up, go ahead and let it eat. And all of a sudden, you know, Moses' rod ate the other snakes, you know. That was kind of cool, you know. But all through that, a lot of the plagues that God would bring about, they were able to produce them too. Meaning this, if you're looking for magic, you can find it on both sides, right? That's why you watch The Wizard of Oz and you're like, you know, I remember being, you know, little and you're just like, oh my gosh. Ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch. That's the wicked witch. That's who she is. And all of a sudden in the sky, this beautiful winged character, flowing locks of hair, pink. Who's that? That's the good witch. There's good ones too? This is confusing. Well, that's life. That is life. I'm telling you, the enemy, smooth, man. I'm so smooth that it takes people all the time. All the time. People will literally make decisions that they know are not good. They'll know it's going to lead them to a bad spot. They know it's going to bring destruction. But the temporary pleasure of it will suck them in. And the enemy knows how to sell it, man. It's marketing. That's what marketing does. Marty always promises everything and delivers on nothing normally. You know, that's why they always sell this powder or get this pill or eat this way, do this, and you'll be, and most of it's just not true. But I just want you to know that Satan is spiritual. That's what makes this so wicked. Does everybody see that? He's just spiritual. He stands at pulpits like this with the Bible and speaks. You better not follow me. The only way you're going to be able to tell the difference is if you can discern the Word of God. That's really the key to it. There's preachers all over the place doing all kinds of crazy things. Here's a little side note. A friend of mine brought in a speaker to speak on to married couples. They had a marriage retreat. This guy said, you need to pray with your wife. You need to pray with your wife. And the whole marriage retreat was on that. Like, that's all you're going to do is pray. You should pray with your wife every night. And you know, it's like, oh, well, that's sweet. That sounds good, doesn't it? Had scripture to back up. Man, every night me and my wife lean beside the bed, man. Every night. This guy was selling. This ain't me. I'm not saying that. Me and my wife fight every night before we go to bed. But he's selling this to people. Get on the bed. We open the Word to him and we pray together. Well, that thing ended and all these couples in the church were saying, man, we need to pray together. Even giving testimonies on Sunday morning. And me and my wife started praying together. Guys, that's a great thing to pray together. That's a wonder. I'm not knocking that. The funny thing is they found out 2 weeks later. The dude had been having like a year and a half affair on his wife, this preacher. And so to cover it up, and he feels guilty about it, but don't know how to stop it because it's so fun and it's got so much vibe to it that he just pulled his wife closer and she's like, yeah, we started praying together. He just started it about a year and a half ago and it's been so sweet. He's the devil, man. That's how that works. So that's what legalism does. Whenever you get somebody as a preacher that gets on, especially a soapbox on a subject, watch it. Watch that stuff. You know, the Bible says this too, the love of money is the root of all evil. I've been to so many churches. It's been a while since I've been in a church like this, just because we got our own going here. But you'll go there and you're pretty convinced that they're being savvy. And it's just about that. And all of a sudden they know how to do it. And is this going to be lucrative, you know? And it's all really about money. And the church has become some flipping business. It's a business. Everything's got to pay for itself. I'm just like, that's like, we've got to be careful of that because I think about what was salvation? What did it cost you? Nada. There's nothing free worth anything in this world. Well, I met Jesus Christ. He paid 100% of the price. Free. Now, because of that, it didn't cost me anything. It tends to get cheap sometimes. You know how it is. You pay something. They're like, yeah, that guy tears the crap out of that stuff. You know why? Because he didn't pay for it. That's what they say about teenagers. Yeah, that's what they're living in this house. That's why they'll do it. They ain't their own. They don't clean it. Everything's been handed to them. They'll see you one day, you know. And we say that type of stuff. And it is true. There's a principle there. But salvation was 100% free. Yeah, that's what the Lord gave you and me, right? And yet churches want to sit back and make it all about money. And I tell you, our church, we are the kings of starting ministries that cost us dearly. It never makes money. I had a lady just tell me, this is just a few weeks ago, because we're on our calendar, we're planning, we always try to do VBS big, and she goes, did you know there's a church in town that I called and they want me to pay to have my kids come to Vacation Bible School? Like, it's $100 a kid or so. I don't know what it is. It might be $1,000, it might be $50, I don't know. But I was like, she goes, I just don't get it. I said, well, I do. Maybe they're bringing their kids in, and that stuff's expensive. A typical VBS costs us a minimum of $3,000 to do. And we don't have $3,000 lying around. But some of them, they'll feed kids. Sometimes they'll do that. I'm just like, I get it, it costs money. And they're just wanting to, hey, well, your kid needs to pay for it, you know. I logically understand it. I'm not sure I really get it when I view it from God's word, but whatever. It's easy. See, the devil's spiritual, man. He'll work that thing and it just gets really, can I show you a verse at the end of the Bible? It's in James chapter 2. Are you throwing verses up, Jordan? That sounds kind of rough, don't it? You ever throw verses up? It burns. Sorry. Jokes ain't going over well today, are they? James chapter 2 and verse 19. James chapter 2 and verse 19. It says this. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Watch this. The devils, or that's the word in the Bible uses for demon, the devils also believe and they tremble because they know it's true. I want you to know that. The enemy knows the book. He knows the book. That's why the Bible says even when Lucifer fell, one of the things that God says about him, he says, oh, you are full of wisdom. The devil? Yeah, the devil, man. Come on. So the devils believe. And they tremble because they know it's coming down. Now, I want you to know something. So the devil is by nature definitely wants to take the spiritual, but also it affects the physical. You'll read all the time people that were like bound with devils or demons in the Gospels. And I don't know if you've, of course, we like it. It's Hollywood. We like to call it horror movies. We don't like to think of it as us. But in the Western part of the world, everything has names and labels. So you got to really watch it. Things that would totally line up with something that the Bible would say, my gosh, man, the devil's got a hold of that guy's mind. Well, it's tough, but if you have four or five labels over here, and you know how it is, give it a name, give it a label, and then what? You can't kill it, right? Because it's become a pet. So in the Western culture, we tend to say God's word is archaic and old. And so we develop it as they go, and then all of a sudden, if enough people had the same symptom, we'll just call it a name. But if you go talk to your grandpa, your grandma, you know, grandma would say, we're like, oh, and you hate to talk about this stuff because so many people today are literally plagued with issues and trouble in their life. In this room, I'll speak of me, got some real issues and problems. But you read the Gospels, this lady for 18 years was bound with something. And it wasn't until the touch of Jesus. You'll find people all over physically had ailments. Jesus said when he dipped in the sop, he handed it to Judas, and at that point, the Bible says that the devil entered into him. Can that really happen? That's freaky stuff, man. Yeah, it did happen, and it can happen. It's true. We don't like to talk about it. You know why? It's so weirdly spiritual, you can't see it, so what are you going to do? Well, let's just ignore it. That's what we can do. We don't want to teach on it. So the Bible says there's guys in the Gospels that they would bind him with chains because they would cause damage and freak people out, come down into town. Guys, and they'd be like, that guy's possessed with the devil. There's demons on this guy. And the Bible says he would frequently break the chains. Super unnatural, like crazy strength. There's things that the Bible says that a dad would say, man, my kid wants to hurt himself all the time. I don't get it. Just all the time. If there's fire, he'll throw himself into the fire, man. He'll do things like that. You'll watch this kind of behavior in the Bible. I just want you to know the spiritual affects the physical. I believe, a lot of people don't believe, I believe good Bible doctrine changes behavior. I've seen it. But a lot of people, you know, they just... Doctrine's important. Our job as a church is to teach the word. People can do with it what they want. But we teach the word and you teach Bible doctrine. And a lot of churches today is like, no, we don't want to teach Bible doctrine because people have more issues. So we're just going to teach on subjects. Hey, this week is Valentine's Day. You know how many churches are talking about love this morning? I know there's time to talk about love. But then it's weird. All of a sudden you get some weird little creature flying around. Usually wearing a diaper for some odd reason. I'm just like, why? If not, he'd crap on you. That's what would happen. And he's just wanting to hit people with some sort of freakish arrow. And people are like, what in the world? All of a sudden I look up, I'm just like, my gosh, I'm in love with Stephen all of a sudden. How did this happen? It's weird. All these things are weird. If you think, Easter, we're all going to get chocolate bunny rabbits and, you know, a rabbit, the most fertile animal on the planet, is going around and putting eggs in everybody's business. Strange. You know why? Because that holiday was never about the resurrection of Christ. That was a pagan holiday. But we got to do as a Christians, we just mix them up and say, hey, try this, you know. Here it is, you know. It's crazy. The devil's so spiritual, but it does affect the spirit, the physical. So I just want everybody to know that. The Bible says he's a liar. He's a murderer from the beginning. So it does affect the physical. A lot of byproducts you'll see physical. But the weird thing is the spiritual. You know how it is. If some dude has a broken arm, you're like, oh, dude, we need to get that broken arm set. Man, that's terrible looking. But all of a sudden, when somebody's like, I got out of my car one time, and this dude was flipping mad at me. It was downtown Kansas City, flipping mad at me that I'd parked my car here. He got out, and he's like, what? This guy was like, I mean, if this guy would have had a gun, I'd have been dead. Guys, I knew in my heart it wasn't because I parked in his space in front of his store, and I wasn't planning on going to his store, but there was multiple shops there. It was so strange to me. I just thought, there's something else going on in here. This guy don't even know my name. It's not that he hates the model of the car I was driving, but something had him irate, and he could have killed. If I'd have stepped up in his face, we would have fought. I knew right away I had to defuse this. There's problems here. Call me scared if you want to. I was like, I don't want to fight. I don't even want to fight a 75-year-old man. That's not my choice, you know. It's not my first choice. Weird. So weird. Can I show you one verse in 2 Corinthians 2? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this. Hey, we got to be careful here. Lest Satan should get advantage of us. He will. For we are not ignorant of his devices. What we need to do is we need to learn the devil, and we need to learn his ways. He's going to get advantage of us, but you can't be ignorant of his devices. So we know God's word. Let me give you a few things. Are you ready for this? We talk about how powerful Satan is. He's smooth. It's like I gave him a lot of attention. So I want you to know this. First of all, if you're taking notes, take them down in your mind. God is not evil, and God is not the source of evil. We know that, right? God can't even look on iniquity. When Jesus Christ took the sins of the world, God turned his back and Jesus yells, my God, why have you forsaken me? God wouldn't forsake anybody, would he? If you die in your sin, you'll spend an eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. Yes, he will.
So just mark that down. God is not evil or the source of it. Now people turn this and twist it all the time. They want to say this like God is evil. Well, that story you told, David. You know, so God's like Hitler? Is that? Well, you know, it's like Joshua said. Hey, if it seemed evil unto you to serve God, that's me and my house are going to serve the Lord. You can twist that any way you like to it, pal. But God is not that way. And some people, when they're tempted, you know, God can't even be tempted at evil, the Bible says. 1 John 1 says, in him is no darkness at all. At all. Now, you and me experience that living on this planet. And I got flesh. I'm a preacher. I love God's word. I love righteousness. I love it, man. I'm telling you. I love truth. But I got news for you. I got flesh. I'm a man. I can easily be drawn away and tempted. There's things I like that I know are wrong. I know it. But God is not the source of evil. Has everybody got that one down? Okay. We talked about how incredibly powerful the enemy is. One-third of the angels went with him. A third of the angels, his tail drew a third part of the stars, Revelation says. But mark this down. You ready for this one? God, and use some crazy word like, God dominates Satan. The goodness of God dominates the evil of the enemy. And guys, I can't think of a stronger word. Like, the devil's about destruction. God dominates. Like, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's footstool. God rules this place with his feet up, man. He's a boss. The devil don't get one up on. It's like if they play chess together. God's a master. He's so many moves ahead of the deal. Even though the devil will beat me every time in the chessboard. But not God. Matter of fact, can I show you these verses in Isaiah? Go to Isaiah 14, where we went last week. This is where Lucifer ended up falling. This is kind of a cool passage in the Bible. I love it. Because in Isaiah chapter 14, it says in verse 12, notice it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? God, Isaiah, you got him over the board, Jordan? Okay, thank you. Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation beside the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. It's our biggest problem. The first sin we find here, because you know what we do? God's Word says this, and I'm like, God's Word says you, but I, you know, every little kid has that problem when they're born, right? Their little flesh, it's what they want. They're selfish by nature. We all are, you know. But that never ends. Even as adults, we know what God's Word says. It's like, but, hey, no buts about this. Why are you throwing I in the mix? Five times he says the word I. Five is the number of death. It'll kill you every time. Look at verse 15. Watch this. The domination of our God. Yet. Oh, you want to be above the throne of the Most High God? Yeah, you're going to do all that. It's above the sides of the north. That's what you're going to do. I. You're going to exalt your throne. Verse 15. Yet. Thou shalt be brought down to hell. To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the one that man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms? Is this the guy that caused so much trouble down on planet earth? That was him, God's like, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened out the house of his prisoners. Verse 18, all the kings of the nations, even all in the line of glory, every one in his own house. I mean, you start reading down through 19, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. Like yesterday, I picked up branches in my yard and just tossed them in a burn pile. And God's just like, yeah, oh, the enemy, yeah, you're all that, the devil's all this, and you weakened the nations, you caused so much destruction, you ruled cities, you did all this, you took one third of the angels, and God's like, I will pick you up like a branch in the yard for the burn pile. Man, a 2-year-old kid can pick up a branch and throw it on the burn pile. Yeah, because God dominates the earth. Just want everybody to know that. I've given a lot of accolades to the devil here, and I'm not going to go at him. When Michael the Archangel would bring a ray of the accusation, I just want you to know I'm not that guy. I'm not up here doing that. So I'm going to look, and somebody says, man, do you respect him? You know, why look at what he's done and who he is. And yes, left to me, he would eat me up. For sure. Like, I know that. It's bigger than me. But when I look at God, when I look at the creator of the universe, it's domination for him. He is not one bit, moved even by him. 19 thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch, as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword and gone down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them at the burial. I mean, God goes, if you go to Ezekiel 28, we don't go there, we don't have time. But same thing, God is literally like, and he says all this stuff, and God's just like, are you done? And the devil goes, I'm done. And God's like, I'll destroy you. And it's over. The Bible says that this, he comes in the garden like a serpent. He's going to build himself up toward Revelation. And that serpent has grown. He's put on wings. He's a dragon. You ever, a dragon? You ever watch those, man? Even in Little Dragons, man. You see it in Little Dragons? And that one commercial on that Game of Thrones, that little dragon, they're just like, hey, this dragon's up in the air, and they got me by the chain like 20. That little dragon looks around like, and then, he just tears into it, like, oh my gosh, this is a dragon. You know, God says at the end of it, everybody thinks you're a serpent as you get smooth and slither in, and you set yourself with some powerful dragon, and God says, here's how it's going to end. It's going to end, and I will turn you into a worm. Still slithery, kind of slimy. What do you think of worms? You know what? That's death. Worm food. You start digging up a cemetery. I used to want to go fishing as a kid, and I'd go down in the sewers of Akron, Ohio. Pop up the sewer, go down in there. There were all the leaves went down there, and they'd pile up. You digging them in, and worms down there got this big and bigger on my pinky. It was weird. The fish wouldn't bite them things. I'd see bluegills and they wouldn't bite those things. Like, isn't that weird? Strange. I don't know why that is. Maybe you have a theory on that you can help me with it, because I'm still going down the sewers looking for worms. But the bottom line is, he's like, you're a worm to me. What is a dragon to me? And like, you know, ain't no way I could slay this dragon. And God's like, and it's a worm to me. I just put it in perspective, that's all. God dominates, man. And by the way, if you're quick flipping your Bible, flip. If you're not quick, just Jordan will pop them up there. 1 John 3:8. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3. And look what it says. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. All the issues that sin has been on this planet, the enemy has caused, the biggest blow ever given to this date and time to the enemy was when Jesus Christ came and died, and 3 days later came back to life. It destroys the work of the devil. Now you're getting a hint. The only way the works of the enemy will be destroyed in my life and yours, you better know Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You better know him, man, or you're in trouble, man. You're in deep trouble. Hebrews 2:14 says the same thing. The works of Jesus destroys the work of the devil. And you know, First John, if you're in 1 John, now just go to chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I like how it calls us little children. Like, you know, a little kid. Like, I had a little kid punch me in my nose one time. He's a kindergartner. He punched me right in my nose. It brought tears to my eyes. I'm not going to lie. And then I picked him up by his scalp. And I thought, calm down. Calm down. He's kicking and screaming. Wait, there's no competition. It's a little kid. What was I going to do? Well, I was going to go to jail for what I was going to do if I continued. Because I could just dominate him. You know? That's not even funny. And so, here the Bible says, hey, little children, I got news for you. The one that destroys the work of the devil, that's had victory over sin and death. If you know Jesus Christ, he's inside of you. That's how you overcome. And then all of a sudden, I can look at the enemy and say, this is kind of scary. Whatever you're facing in your life, it's bigger than you. This is bigger than me. It's okay. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. What's inside of me? Then I got the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ dwells in here. And I feed him, man. I feed him the word. And all of a sudden I find myself, and you're going to find yourself in the context of sin, eating, having victory over sin. And hurts and habits in your life. You can have victory. But the victory comes through Christ. Hey, there are people on this planet that are incredibly disciplined. There's children that grow up in this world. There's quite a few of them. They're perfect. Parents had no issues with them. Potty training was easy. No bad grades in school. You know, I mean, there's really super compliant kids. They're out there. They grow up, white picket fence, you know, always paid the bills, always had a savings account, never had real habits in their life. You know, there are people in the world like this. And we all probably know of people like this. Because we tend to want to look at them and just say, who do they think they are? Square. That dude's square. I mean, he's just better than me. And I know it, man. He's made such good decisions his whole life and everything looks perfect. And the Bible says even he, without the Lord Jesus Christ, will spend an eternity in hell. Because he's a sinner. He's just got a temperament from birth that he was born with. She was born with. It's true. That's why you can't always rule out the great. We always say here in the Sunday school classes, hey, the kid that don't listen, the kid that's loud, the kid that causes trouble, mark that kid. He's going to do some damage one day for the Lord. That kid, he ain't going to be afraid. He's going to step up. By the way, I got some stats on that too. When you talk about temperaments of a kid, it's kind of weird. But anyways, the biggest blow ever delivered to the enemy was Jesus Christ. So that's why we're here. We exalt him. That's what the Bible says. He's the one that gives us the victory. Do you believe that? It's Christ. That's why I say have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the answer to everything is not, you just need to pray and read the Bible. You know, it's not just about that. Who's going to win the Super Bowl, Jesus? Well, if I knew that, man, you know what I would do? If I really could get that piece of information, me and you'd be wealthy. We'd pull all of our money together, wouldn't we? We'd go to Vegas on that thing. That's exactly what we do. We're like, what's going on here? That's weird. What is this all about? Hey, we got an enemy. There's a God. One is good, one is right. One is light, one is darkness. And they both exist. We face both of them. And if you know Jesus Christ, the good has entered inside of you. So now, you'd be like the true example of schizophrenia. I'm crazy. I know. Why would I desire this type of thing? And then you have people over here saying, I'll tell you right now, dude, just you desiring those things would tell me I don't even think you're a Christian. Seriously? There's light and darkness. I'm here to tell you, man, darkness is delicious. My brother was a drug addict. And I remember one time, I have a massive needle. If you like to inject like a bigger piece of meat, like if you want to inject your meat before you smoke it, you know. And I pulled that thing out, my brother looks over, he goes, man, dude, that killed me. I'm like, what are you thinking about, man? That's all you think about, is it? He goes, yeah, pretty much. That's all I think about. Knows it's wrong, but he goes, dude, you don't know. You don't know, man, if you would do it just one time. He goes, don't do it. You do it one time, you're done. I mean, this is how we talk about it. My gosh. So, the human nature, sin, all of it, leans on the dark side. Why do people go to the darkness? Because it's so great, man. It's delicious. That's why. It don't last. It destroys. Why would you do that? I'll tell you why. Because for years, my marriage has been flat. And this guy, this girl just lit me up, man. And the adventure took off. And then at the very end, the Bible says you'll finally find out your bit. When the Bible speaks of addiction, it'll say, oh yeah, it's all here. You know what it'll do. And it'll put the, yeah, you like the edge. We all like the buzz. You always like that. And then you put it on. And the Bible says, and at the very last, you'll realize you've been bit by the serpent. That's what Proverbs says. And you're sitting back like, dang, how did that happen? My uncle, when he got out of prison, you know what he said? I'll never do cocaine again. Cocaine was the big drug back in those days. And powerful. He's like, I'll never do that again. The night he got out, he was high. The night he got out. I was like, how can this happen? I thought he met Jesus. I told my mom, I said, I thought he met Jesus Christ. I thought he was going to be a godly guy now. He wants to be. He did. But you got your flesh, you got the devil, it never shuts down. He don't blink. He knew Jesus, he had a heart for Jesus over here. What's crazy is this particular uncle, 12 years, man, he got sober, started going to meetings, and ended up being with people, loving the church. All those things were happening for him. And somebody said, well, how did he die? Drugs. 12 years being sober, how could somebody go back? Because it's so good. That's what we do. Who we fool? Coming in our Sunday best, acting. If what we had was so good. Now, it's good. We know it's good, right? We know it's good. We're in it for the long term. It ain't always about the feelings. You come to church here, you're going to get spanked now and then. The Bible's going to do that for it's a hard place to be. But there was taverns last night around this area that had more people than there are people in church this morning. Why is that? Well, there's a villain. We got flesh. Half time, I don't even need the villain. I'm like the villain myself. But I guess I want to end this message with three things. And here it is. Deliverance is always possible. Always. We know that God is bigger and dominates the enemy. But do you know that deliverance is possible? The Bible says when light shines in darkness. You've done it before. Rats, they run. Roaches, they run. Turn on the lights. That's what you got to do. The light of God's Word. Deliverance is possible. The Bible says, and that's why when Jesus Christ showed up, demons trembled. They were like, oh no. What? And they're like, please don't torment us before our time. They know what their end is. They believe it. And they're in trembling. And Jesus Christ came along and just said, you can't dwell in this house. And he would do his work. So I just want everybody to know, deliverance is possible. The demons, the devil, all those type of things. And I don't want to freak you on this thing, but I just want you to know that. That Jesus Christ, when he resurrected from the grave, that defeating blow to the enemy means that today there's deliverance for you and me. And I'll tell you how the enemy works. He'll do whatever he'll destroy your flesh is what he'll do. That's why people that choose like sexual things, if they choose sexual things after a bit, the enemy's like, oh, good, I got him hooked, right? Dude's hooked. And those guys, man, I'm trying to fight this. You know, I get in the Bible, I'm trying to fight. I'm just, it's a struggle. You know what happens? Eventually, your flesh is destroyed. Eventually, that's what happens. Eventually, that's... You get something. It affects the physical. Or you get so old, you get worn out. You know, your beauty can't hang on that long. So if you want to choose that kind of lifestyle as a female. And before you know it, that's what happens. All of those guys. It's the Al Capones of the world. Like, man, what did he die? Somebody knife him and slice his throat open? I bet they shot him down. A Tommy gun! No venereal disease, guys. Addicted. What's addiction mean? What he was devoted to. It's what he gave his attention to. It's all the devil needs from you. Just a little bit of your attention. Now God just says, hey, love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Give your attention to me. Give your devotion to me. The enemy's job is just to get you to turn. That's why Jesus says, be careful, married men. I love my wife. She's the best ever. Well, what the devil says, the devil just says, look. And he wants to give you, and God says, be careful, because if you look at a woman to lust after in your heart, it'll be the fall of you, man. That's what Jesus' definition of adultery is different than mine. But the devil knows, as soon as in my heart, I just take the glance. What am I doing? Nobody knows this. I've did it. It's all here. It's how it works. And if the enemy can just get this, he got me. That's the key, right? But deliverance is possible. It doesn't have to be that way. Did you know the Bible says there's two words that I like when dealing with the enemy. And Ephesians says don't even give him a place. Don't even give him a place. It's kind of like a Komodo dragon. Man, check this out, man. What is this? That's my baby Komodo dragon. Isn't he cool? Everybody's going to think he's cool. I know lizards creep some people out. But man, I'm going to take him to the public library. Let the kids pay. Oh, is that what you're going to do? And then all of a sudden next year, hey man, and I guarantee you by year two, you know what the library's going to say? He can't come in there. No, he's friendly. He's fine. People can just pet him and love on him. That's what everybody always does, don't they? What in God's name? That dude's been sizing you up for a month now. That's ridiculous. But that's what people do. That's exactly how it works. The Bible says, don't give place to the devil. You can't give place to him. Why? Because if you give him an inch, he takes what? Right. You can't even crack open the door. That one look will hurt you. Pervert. Listen, all pervs in the room, please stand. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Because every male in the room would stand to your feet. It'd be embarrassing. One look. In your heart. One look and you'll be like, oh my gosh, he got me. Yeah, he sure has got me because that's all I'm thinking about today. That's all I'm thinking about today. My brother always said he was, you know what I'm thinking about? Heroin, man. A year sober, a year free, and that's all I think about. You knew with that kind of mentality, he's probably going to use it. Something's got to happen. And the Bible says, don't give any place. No place for him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 about that roaring lion. What's the Bible say that we should do with that roaring lion? You guys know that in 1 Peter? Go to 1 Peter 5. Throw it up on the board there. 1 Peter chapter 5. It says in verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Pay attention. Because your adversary, the devil, there he is. He's coming up as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he does. He devours us. What's verse 9 say we should do? Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. This is a word that pops up a lot in the Bible. And that is resist him. The resistance. James 4:7 says, if you resist the devil, he will flee. He'll tempt you. He tempted Jesus, and he kept bringing pride of life, lust of the flesh, right? All that thing. He kept giving it. Lust of the eyes. He's giving it to him. And finally it says, and he left for a season. Why? Because Jesus put up the resistance. Do you see that? And some people say, well, it's just like a temptation. Yeah, kind of. But what you do is you just put up the resistance. So here's the deal. If you're a Christian and you are facing no resistance, my life's good. My life's good. Money in the bank, enjoy each other, vacation, paying the bills, got what I want, driving the ride I want, all those things. It's good, isn't it? It's possible if you face no resistance. You're on the wrong side. Why isn't the enemy giving you any friction in your life? Maybe he's got you. You really think he wants you walking around the Dollar Tree picking scabs on your face? Oh, he'll take that any day. But what about the lady that goes in there and can buy anything and everything she wants, and she never says no? And so she just fills her carts with the Turkish delight, man. It just fills it and walks out, and everybody just thinks, that's a godly lady. You know, she plays piano at our church. She faces no resistance. If life is that good, you're probably coasting downhill. That's how easy my life is. People think, is that the point of the Christian life? So your morality is good and I never have no worries and never have any problems. If the Bible says you have an enemy, you never even feel his breath anymore. Probably because he has no need to breathe on your neck. Because you're good. You just joined him. That's all. Jesus said this, get behind me, Satan. When Satan would come forward, it did it actually through the life of Peter. Notice this. Your focus is everything's in front of you. Satan, he's there. You're not going to get rid of him. Behind. You don't got your focus. He does not have your attention. You see that? It is that simple. And it sounds, it's profound and yet simple. Deliverance is possible. But it's going to have you and me put up some resistance when it comes. Oh, he'll flee, but you better put up the resistance. You better put up, and that's where if you had this, by the way, you know what Jesus Christ did, right? In Matthew chapter 4, we know this. He said, hey, you get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Oh, there it is. He put up the resistance. Satan, get behind me. I'm not going to focus on you and your words, for it is written. It's the only offensive weapon we have as Christians. Bible. If you look at the armor of God, it'll tell you all these pieces. You put on helmet of salvation, right? You put them on to be protected. All these defensive. But then it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the only offensive. So if you're going to have any deliverance, any victory over Satan, you know what you got to do? You got to get a new look from this old book. That's it. You got to. It's this. That's why we're big in discipleship. We want to get people in the Bible. Get in the Word. Get in the Bible. This is what's important. People come to say, my gosh, I just feel bad. I want to come to church and leave. And I just want to feel good about myself. Well, that is a church that the devil would totally preach in. If you can just leave feeling good about yourself, he's like, got them. Well, they're easy, ain't they? Christians are easy. Sexual predators, you know where they exist best? In churches, because churches are flipping gullible. That's why. They don't know the book. And they decide they're just going to love on everybody. That's what it's about, isn't it? And you'll find out that literally, sexual predators love to enter and to be around churches and church people. Because church people tend to be the stupidest people on the planet. We got a sword. Why can't you use it? What's a sword for, by the way? Fight. You kill people with it. You kill things with it. That's what it's for. I remember I was always like, I love defense. I love defensive players. If somebody would say, you know, like, who's your favorite player for? And you'd name a team. You know, you name the Chiefs, I like Jones. Oh, that dude's a beast, man. You even name the 49ers, and I like Bosa is a monster. I love him. I've always played defense. And I tend to lean towards those type of people. And I like Kittle a lot because he plays like he's on defense. That's how he plays the game. I just like that. And so I told a college coach one time, I just said, hey, you know what, man? I know offense sells tickets, but defense wins games. I just thought that was cool and smart, knew everything. He goes, you know, Mike, there is some truth to it. I just want you to know something. Offense wins championships. So, Christian, defense, yes. We got armor, yes. But don't forget about the sword of the Spirit. It is written. Jesus used it. We're going to have to use it. And not just use it, but you got to obey it. The Bible even says if you don't obey it, you know what the Bible says even about our marriages? If you don't obey the Bible, if you can't forgive somebody, you got bitterness in your heart, you know what the Bible says? Then the devil is just taking advantage of you. That's what the Word says. If we don't obey it, Satan's got advantage. Hey, I'm going to read part of the story to you here real quick. And somebody would say, man, would you shut up? I'm like, guys, the game's not on until later tonight. It's not like we have to get home and get the noon kickoff. Ready for this? Imagine. There's a grand tug of war of competition in a vast arena. On one side stands a powerful, menacing figure representing the forces of darkness and evil and all that opposes God. On the other side stands the Almighty Creator, embodying love, righteousness, and he has a strength that cannot be dominated. There's a rope connecting the two sides, stretching across the cosmos, and there's a fierce battle. The crowd watches in suspense. The evil one pulls with all of his might, causing momentary tremors and challenges for those standing on God's side. However, what the spectators can't see is the anchor behind each team. See, on one end, Satan is straining with every ounce of maleficent. Like, how do you say that word? Malevolence? How do you say it?
Malevolence.
Man, I knew it, but I couldn't quite say it. Sorry. I was topping my class in the third grade. On one end, Satan is straining with every ounce of malevolence? Say it against you. What he said. Attempting to overpower the righteous forces. Yet his anchor is kind of weak, eroding, it falters. On the other end, God's anchor is unyielding. It's rooted deeply in a bedrock of eternity. The more Satan pulls, the tighter God grips the rope in the midst of this cosmic struggle. The crowd witnesses Satan's futile attempts to triumph. Suddenly, a voice echoes throughout the arena, revealing the source of God's unwavering strength. It's a voice that speaks galaxies into existence. It calms storms with the whisper, and it declares, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. As the spectators comprehend the scene, they understood that God's strength isn't merely a match for Satan. It far surpasses anything the adversary can muster. The evil one may create chaos and sow swords of doubt and tempt humanity, but he is ultimately powerless against the Almighty. God's strength always prevails. No matter how the enemy pulls, the anchor of God's sovereignty holds firm. Our trust in God's strength empowers us to face life's challenges with confidence, knowing that simply the battle's already been won. Gang, we got an anchor. And I'm here to tell you, I know it seems like evil and bad's prevailing. And it might in some places, but it doesn't have to prevail in you. It doesn't have to prevail in my life. God dominates the enemy. Speak of the devil. Let's speak of the Almighty. It's just that much bigger. Hey, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, I want you to meet him, man. Become a Christian. Jesus Christ did all the work, and you meet him, and by faith, he moves inside of you. That's how simple it is. So I want you to become a Christian today. I want you to have like a Brock Purdy type of testimony. Just be like, yeah, I picked last, yeah, it sucked, but whatever. In the Super Bowl, yeah, whatever. He might throw a terrible game today. It's possible. What are people going to say about him then? We knew it wasn't true. This youngster comes on. And we knew it.
What?
Oh, really? Is that how it's going to be? So I just want you to know this. God's word prevails. Christian, we want to help you. You've got to put up a resistance. I wish that you could pray a prayer. Don't you wish it just so easy? It's like you're tempted or you're having trouble in your life and you could just go, give me a cup of coffee and I'll do the sign of the cross and everything will be fine. It don't work that way. It's so tough, man. It is so tough. But I want to give you a message of hope today. Deliverance is so possible. Jesus made it possible. Walk with Him. That's the best we can do. Walk with Jesus. The strength inside of you then is greater than any force on the outside of you. I always think of myself laying on the bottom of the swimming pool. I don't lay there very often because when I do, my head feels like it's going to blow up. You know, the deeper you go, that's why you can't survive in the ocean. And the only reason other things can, there's little dainty creatures down there living. How are they able to live? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God's given them a system where their internal pressure, it's got to be equal or greater to the outside pressure. And if not, you're dead. You'll be submarines. They can't even go down so deep. You know why? Because they crush like a tin can. But you and me, we got a pressure on the inside. That's why Paul says, oh, yeah, you persecute me if you want to. And he says this. He said over and over, he goes, but you'll not prevail against me. I'm not saying you can't hurt me. I'm not saying I won't mess up. But I'm here to tell you, greater is He that's in me than He's in the world. I don't crush. I don't crumble under that. But most people do. So but there's a strength greater. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Are you walking with Him today? Jesus, thanks for this morning. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Lord, thanks for teaching us about the enemy. Lord, there's a lot of things that are wicked, scary, all that type of thing about the enemy. And for us, God, I just sometimes feel like a little child until You came in. And I'm thankful that now we can have a confidence that the greater One lives inside of us. God, I pray that You put our focus where it should be this week. The enemy is trying to so hinder us, and he does such a good job at it. God, I pray You would open our eyes this week to those of us that we are hindered by good. Therefore, we neglect the great. Lord, help us to walk in Your Spirit, get in this book. Help us to be a church that thrives and grows. There's so many people's lives that are so devastating out there because of sin, death, or the enemy. My gosh, they just have nowhere to go. And yet we know where there's hope. We know where there's deliverance. I pray that we become a people that's after that. And help us to shine light in